Our reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Mount of Olives. There Jesus sent two of the disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied up with a colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to tell him, the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make what the prophet had said come true. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son! God has blessed him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
For hundreds of years, the fifth Sunday in Lent always marked the start of a two-week season in the life of the church, which was called Passiontide. It would have started last Sunday with what people called Passion Sunday, and it would have lasted right up until the dawn of Easter Day. The name Palm Sunday is also ancient, and it was on that Sunday that the story of the Passion was read, beginning with Christ's entry into Jerusalem, which, of course, is the story that we heard this morning. But mid-20th century changes in the Roman calendar began to fuse the two names together, and the names are now largely interchangeable. So this is Passion or Palm Sunday, and in many churches and traditions around the world, the whole of the Passion narrative is read. And of course, it's not a story for the faint-hearted. History records with some clarity that Roman punishment was of a pretty brutal and ruthless variety. If you fell foul of the authorities, which could be over a whole number of different things, you were likely to face prison, slavery, or execution. The Roman authorities looked on punishment as a deterrent, so a sign indicating someone's crime seems to have been fairly common. If a prisoner was to be killed in an amphitheatre in front of a crowd, a placard indicating their crime was sometimes carried in front of the prisoner, a bit like a notice announcing next round in a boxing ring. Or sometimes the crime would be written on a notice and hung around the prisoner's neck. In Jesus' case, it seems to have been nailed to the cross above him. Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Famously, of course, the argument between Pilate and the Jews was recorded. Pilate should have written, so the Jewish crowd argued, that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews, not that he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate refused to do an about turn. "What I have written, I have written," he said. Inevitably, over the years, there have been many, many discussions amongst scholars around why Pilate might have said what he said. One of the explanations is that Pilate had been effectively outmaneuvered by the Jewish authorities. And this was a way of getting his own back, having a dig at them by being deliberately provocative. In other words, the suggestion being that the Jewish people themselves had produced this king, and now they wanted Pilate to kill him. The irony in all of this is that by having a go at the Jewish authorities, Pilate ended up proclaiming the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a question that's equally relevant now and especially relevant to us over the days of the coming week. Because which do we say? Do we say Jesus is Lord? Or do we say Jesus said he was Lord? All the difference in the world between, on one hand, an objective record of what someone said, and on the other hand, a statement of living faith and belief. To you and me, the fundamental question has to be, is Jesus a charismatic figure from history, or is Jesus the embodiment of a creator God? And familiar though the Passion story inevitably is to all of us, what does it mean to us here and now? Is it an interesting piece of historical narrative, or is it a life-changing moment of present encounter? Is it a glimpse of life in a different culture and a bygone age, or does it speak still directly to us across the centuries? When we see the cross, do we look on as curious and interested bystanders? Or is people being transformed, really being changed by what we're witnessing, by the story and the reality that's unfolding before us once again over the events of this coming week? It was George MacLeod, of course, of the Iona community, who wrote these following words, which have become very famous. He said, "I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the centre of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on the town garbage heap, at a crossroads so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek, at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and the thieves curse and the soldiers gamble, because that is where churchmen should be and what churchmen should be about." Challenging words. So this Holy Week coming, the challenge for us surely is to ask ourselves, where will we find ourselves standing? Inside the church from a safe vantage point, looking reflectively back across, 2,000 years or so of history? Or at the foot of the cross looking up? And who will we find ourselves standing with? Will we be standing there with the accusers or with the crowd cheering? With the people happy to be there, provided the demands on them weren't too great? Will we be standing with the skeptical? Or with the deniers? Or with the faithful? And what will we find ourselves looking at? At a man wrongly convicted for things he didn't do and paying the ultimate price? One of countless people across the years? Or at God? These are the questions that Palm or Passion beg us to answer. And answer for ourselves, not for anyone else, because this is personal. It's very personal, in fact. Today we're invited to think about the Palm Sunday story and the Passion narrative, and perhaps even to spend some time wondering about how those words now sound to us. Thanks be to God.